There was an exchange via email, and I believe that we have agreed that the GAC's own recommendation, as per the website, should be the operating definition going forward. That advice speaks specifically to GAC advice to the board. And if you agree, we would like to conclude that discussion, and we can tick that off as an accomplishment for the group. We have not yet had very much of an exchange with regard to GAC advice to the supporting organizations and other advisory councils, so that will still have to be discussed and determine whether we want to extend the work under Recommendation 9 to consider that or not. But I think it's quite important to indicate to the community that we have all agreed to the formal definition of GAC advice to the board, which is all that's involved, included under the bylaws, and that we're going to be doing further work there. And I think I'll see if there are any comments.
So do we have any comments regarding what Bill mentioned, that the scope of GAC advice is particularly GAC advice to the board, or are we extending this to include other communications or engagement between the GAC and other SOs and ACs? Yes, Australia, please.
Thank you. And I'd just like to start by thanking everyone who has been involved in this really useful discussion on the email list. I apologise that I've been watching silently, but I was comforted that it seemed to be a very sensible and pragmatic and good working relationship between those putting forward the suggestions. I had very little to add. From my feeling, advice is clearly defined under the bylaws, and it's very clearly advice to the board. There are other considerations with the way that the GAC interacts with other SOs and ACs, which are obviously important, and I think they go to some of the other ATRT recommendations about drawing the GAC into the policy development process earlier. I guess I'd be a little bit loath to disturb the definition of advice as it is. I think it's very sensible that we stick with that, and we have advice to the board, and then we focus on other recommendations if we need it. There are several ways that we can look at getting involved in policy development processes and so on. There may be some new definitions or some new processes we put in place, but I think advice stands as it is.
UK, please.
Yes, thanks very much, and I also acknowledge the great work that's been undertaken and the progress that has been made. On this specific question about advice to the other supporting organisations and advisory committees, I'm coming at this fairly new, I have to say, and forgive me if I've overlooked substantial exchanges about this. It's a feature of GAC life that it's actually impossible now to cover everything and track everything and engage actively on every issue, unfortunately, but it's a fact of life at this time. It may ease off later on, I guess. But I guess my question is, is there a problem here that needs resolving, which perhaps individual SOs and ACs are raising? I'm not aware that there is such a problem with regard to the GAC's contribution to cross-community working, which is something I very much support. But if there is a problem that needs to be addressed by extending the work on advice to encompass our interaction with the SOs and ACs and add clarity to that and predictability and definition of exactly what we are doing when we communicate and have dialogue with any of the other SOs and ACs, well, then I guess that would justify further work to be done. So that's my question, really. What is the rationale for undertaking an extension of the work on advice in that particular direction. Thank you.
I believe that so far only GAC advice to the board triggers the bylaws and has a very special situation. Again, as Australia mentioned, it remains to be discussed the GAC early engagement within the PP and GAC communication with other SOs and ACs. Should we call this something else other than an advice and define what is this exactly, or should it be extended to the definition of the GAC advice, which would trigger, I believe, a lot of changes even for the bylaws and the operating principles. Peter? Sorry, Bill, go.
Yes, I agree. I think you've made a very useful suggestion. If we consider this under the heading of broader GAC involvement with the community, I think that makes more sense, and keep the actual bylaw requirement for advice very separate. So I think that's a very useful suggestion. Thank you.
Another question that we would come to later, but maybe colleagues would like to think it over now, whether the online register also would only include GAC advice or other communication. This is also to be discussed. European Commission.
Thank you, Madam Chair or Vice Chair. Simply to confirm that I agree with the position expressed by Australia and UK, the work of the working group on this particular matter was quite focused with a specific mandate, and our understanding was always that it was related to the advice of the GAC to the board. Advice, or whatever we want to call it, or interactions between the GAC and other constituencies is a very interesting topic that we should definitely explore, but not in this context. So our recommendation, our preference would be to stick for this definition to what constitutes the relationship between the GAC and the board, which trigger, as has been mentioned, a certain number of consequences according to the bylaws, which is not necessarily the case when we interact with other constituencies. Thank you.
So, I think we're in agreement, so maybe we'll take Bertrand's, US, and then Bertrand, and then we're going to move.
Thank you. Bertrand Lachapelle from the ICANN board. One additional piece is that indeed there's a sort of distinction between what we could be called GAC input and GAC advice. I would get along the distinction that is being made. One element that is interesting is that as the GAC develops more interactions into the processes, one of the challenges that we will have, one of the things that we need to keep in mind, is to be able to trace all the contributions of the GAC on a specific topic, which means that if, for instance, there is a discussion that is going on and the GAC has given input early on in the process for the understanding of the evolution of the discussion, it will be useful to know how the different positions have been related to one another. Whether that means that the inputs early on should be taken into account in the database is another issue. But if something is included in the database, links to a separate place where those inputs have been recorded may be a way to go. But I wanted to highlight the interest of having the workflow and the thought process somewhat traceable or documented. Thank you.
Makes a lot of sense. Thank you, US, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to chime in to concur with what my colleagues have suggested, but to also possibly offer a suggested next step. The recommendation that deals with developing and implementing a process to engage the GAC earlier in other policy processes is recommendation number 12, I believe. And so perhaps we can put this particular question sort of in a pending mode, put it on the back burner until we have a better sense of how we would do that. But I do appreciate what Bertrand has just flagged, that you still, it would be helpful, again, pending mode now, to track those kinds of overtures. Well, we do have two examples right now that are pending, where actually the GAC advice did go first to the board, directly to the board, and that is on the GAC-LEA recommendations to amend the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, and it was on the protection at the top and the second level for the IOC and the Red Cross. And what we're now doing is in an interesting experimental mode that I think is very positive, it'll come up later today, is the board sort of saying, accepting what we have put forward and then directing subsequent work. So that's already some connection to Recommendation 12, and maybe we just keep our eye on it. But it does make sense, I think, to register somehow that the advice did go to the board, and here is where it currently stands. Just a suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you. I think the other issue that we wanted to have clarification on was the consensus versus non-consensus advice, and whether this should somehow mean different things to the board or not. And we are trying to discuss everything as possible to make sure we have a common understanding, no matter how trivial the question is. So please bear with us. European Commission, please.
I will be the proverbial sacrificial lamb, and I will say a number of stupid things. Sorry, does the mic work? Yes. I said I will be the sacrificial lamb, and I will make a number of probably stupid points, and I want to underline that at this stage I'm definitely not speaking on behalf of the GAC. This is my understanding. So if I recollect correctly, the GAC has been doing extensive work on what constitutes consensus advice, what constitutes advice in which certain parts of the GAC may have different views, etc., in the context of the new GTLD program. This is what we asked the board, what we were asked by the board, and what the board or whomever else put in the applicant guidebook with some modifications, by the way, but this is a point that we will cover at a later stage. I'm not entirely sure that work was meant to be extended generally to all sorts of GAC advice. That was not our understanding. I'm not entirely sure. I understand the needs of the board to have clarity. I'm a bit reluctant, and I speak as a bureaucrat of the European Commission. I've seen this happening. Do we really need to go through all the possibilities of what may possibly happen or what may possibly be misinterpreted by the board, rather than relying that if the board doesn't understand something, it gets back to the GAC and asks actually what you meant? The BGRI working group, the board GAC working group, has been, in my view, extremely effective because we try to be pragmatic. And rather than thinking about what may happen 2 years from now, we try to focus on what's happening now. So my suggestion, unless there is a burning need to clarify now, which I don't think can happen here and now, by the way, but unless there is a burning need, can we just be happy with the fact that the GAC, as a rule, expresses consensus advice? It signals when there is no consensus advice, and in that case, the board will ask for clarifications if need be. I think the important point here is that the board asks for clarification and doesn't take a decision assuming that it has understood what the GAC says, which is something that has happened in the past, and it was unfortunate, and we should avoid it happening again. I don't know if any other GAC colleagues have any views on this. I would appreciate their perspective as well.
Yes, Australia and New Zealand, please.
Look, I'd just like to support the European Commission view, and to add, again, being a silent observer of other people's very good work, I think this is the sort of direction that we were moving in with the advice register as well. The GAC is going to focus clearly in the future on the way that it crafts its advice, so that it go into the GAC register, into the register of advice. There's going to be some sort of handshake, I think we've talked about, which seems very sensible in the way that things go into the register and out of the register and are signed off and so on. I think this, just as a matter of practice, will ensure that there is an ongoing and timely dialogue between the GAC and the board whenever advice is issued. So I think to the extent that there are any questions about the status of advice or types of advice or the way that it's been phrased, I think we're moving into a space where that can be clarified pretty simply without trying to categorise it in advance and so on. So fully supportive of European Commission's suggestions.
Can I just make a quick clarification before giving the floor to New Zealand? What brought up this issue, and I'm happy with anything that would make us progress and move forward, but what brought up this issue was as per the operating principles of the GAC, we say that the GAC advice triggers the bylaws if not followed, and that we're working by consensus normally, but otherwise we'll report the full range of views within the GAC. And the question was, what if we reported the full range of views, which exactly should trigger the bylaws? And I mean, this was the issue. And should the board seek clarification on which of those point of views, or I mean, so this is Bill, you want to?
Yes, I agree that that's the nature of the discussion. I believe the way we've been moving this might be as productively brought up when we're looking at the register itself to see what's included there and how we're going to deal with it in practical terms. But my understanding so far, from at least from the board side, is that the perspective is clearly that we'll have to work at this iteratively and through a series of questions and answers or other exchanges.
I'm sorry, New Zealand.
Please don't apologize for giving me the floor, Madam Chair. That's quite inappropriate. Australian position is very much what I was going to say. I just wanted to add one thing, because to go back to what the European Commission intervention mentioned was this question of the range of advice from consensus advice to a range of less consensus levels of advice came out of the new GTLD program. And it's absolutely essential there that we have some means of dealing with that. But I think if you go back to the broader context of GAC advice to the board, the need for full consensus, I think, is a strong requirement. We've been through this many, many times. It is a painful requirement, but it is, I think, a necessary requirement. I think we should see how it operates in the new context with a very specific focus before we tackle the broader issue. But I also agree with what Bill said, that it is in the context of how this register is going to work. That does change the nature of the relationship, and I think before we start to see how these things begin to operate, it may be premature to discuss this too far.
I have Italy, US, and then Portugal.
Okay, thank you, Chair. You mentioned one thing that is very important, that the GAC works looking for consensus. And this is an important thing that the board, they know very well, of course, but sometimes to reach an advice that is by consensus mean bring things to have expressions that are not very clean and in some cases it may be difficult to implement those. So the working group has done a very, very important work to define what is GAC advice, all the possibilities, and this is important. But the recommendation to the board, to the board members, I made this also in a couple of meetings ago, is that when the board receives some input from the GAC, it should anticipate as much as possible a phase understanding, let's say, what is the nature of the advice and the eventual possibility of difficulties in the implementation. This is we have to converge with this definition of what is GAC advice, but on the other side, understanding by the board if there are difficulties and not waiting a long time with the staff analysis and things like that. Because this is important to be efficient, especially in this new phase of the early warning and new GTLDs program. Thank you.
You asked, please.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. I took the occasion to go back to the bylaws themselves, and actually the bylaws do not make any distinction between consensus or other forms of advice. So I think maybe we, again, this is another issue to defer. I appreciate your explanation as to how it arrived, how it has come up, but I think it's without having to go in and change the bylaws, which is probably a very painful exercise. Right now, the bylaws do not make such a distinction, and I think we should probably leave this to future experience as to whether and when it might well be critical that the GAC, as per its operating principles, indicates to the board that this is either consensus or a range of views. And so I think we should defer on that issue, if I could suggest. Thank you.
I have Portugal, then Brazil.
I will speak in Portuguese, if you don't mind. So,
certainly the working group has been very positive in terms of verifying the way of putting this issue that the GAC works to produce a consensus advice. And therefore, the alternative is whenever it is impossible to have this consensus. Clearly, the idea was defended within the GAC that to have a wide range of ideas in terms of important issues. But I would like to highlight something. This expression is not possible for it to be written in a multi-stakeholder process. The reason for dialogue and the speech is fundamental to guarantee the full understanding of all points of view that are set forth within one idea. This goes within the multi-stakeholder principle of working. Therefore, we have a demand that this direct relationship between the members of the GAC and the members of the board can be done within a public space. And this is a fundamental aspect within our point of view. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Portugal. Brazil, please.
You can keep your headsets. Bom, seguindo o exemplo do nosso colega português, eu vou falar em português aqui. O modo de trabalhar do GAC, baseado no consenso, é talvez o mais democrático, produtivo. No entanto... There's no translation?
The idea of working with the GAC is perhaps a democratic issue. I will speak in Portuguese again then. Translation wasn't working, it is now. Okay, the way of working regarding consensus or based on consensus that the GAC has to generate advisories is a more democratic and more productive manner. But on the other hand, this also generates many times a paralysis, a difficult manner of sending to the board of the GAC some messages that are not fully clear. One of the suggestions that I heard or that we did was that the board, the ICANN board, would give back some issues so that the messages provided by the GAC could be clarified. The problem we had was that this also causes a paradox. If the GAC was not sufficiently clear during the first discussion, what would guarantee that after a consultation between the board and the GAC would arrive to a clear position? So we only reproduce the problem, or we take this problem with us, or we leave the problem for the future. And this is not in the interest of any of the representatives of the GAC. And so I wanted to leave this clear. We, as representatives of the GAC, need to start thinking of an alternative that, aside from sending a full report on the positions discussed in the GAC to the board, so that the board can be knowledgeable of all of the issues being discussed, we should also have, in some situations where consensus is not reached, we should also have the GAC reach a quorum with at least 80% of, or 75% of the people present, at least 2/3, so that we can send to the board a message on the GAC's position. Despite the fact that there is no consensus, 75 of the members voted in this sense. This is what we should say. And the other minority positions are these and that. And this could be taken also as a message of the GAC. I know that there is a lot of resistance regarding these proposals, but thinking about my first explanation on the paradox that we are having now, perhaps this would be the direction that could lead us to leave these paralysis that the GAC is found in many times. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Brazil. I think this would be an internal GAC discussion. So we can keep this till later. And until then, I believe, again, we're working on consensus. Most of the time, we're providing the consensus view, and we expect the bylaws to be triggered whenever the advice is not followed. Otherwise, in the unlikely event that a range of views are being submitted, so far we expect the board to come back for further clarification and discussion, unless we decide otherwise as we discuss other recommendations. So am I summarizing this right? So Bertrand, and then we have to move to the next agenda item.
Thank you, Bertrand Lachapelle. I would like to pick up briefly on what Romulo said, because there are two types of cases. Seen from the board perspective, what the information or the advice that is being received, either it's labeled as a consensus or not, is irrelevant. There are cases where there is consensus and there are cases where there's not. The challenge that may occur is the situation whereby, to reach consensus within the GAC, some, as Stefano was mentioning, some toning down of the formulation is being done in order to reach a common formulation. And then there can be situations where, from the board, there is a modicum of interpretation of what and the clarity of what the GAC consensus advice is. And if I understand correctly what Romulo said, there are also situations where, if the board is coming back to request clarification, it's actually putting the finger on the ambiguities that were resolved by the formulation, if you see what I mean. So one of the dangers is to get into this kind of back and forth situation where additional requests from the board to clarify what the consensus was is actually leading to discussions within the GAC that make it almost unravel or make the GAC unable to make that clarification. I don't have a solution for that, but I just wanted to highlight that this is the kind of dynamic that we may get into. The second point, more quickly, is and it's fully the GAC's responsibility to define its own modus operandi. But in as much as it is useful for the board to know the proportion, roughly, or the level of support of majority versus minority views, getting into actual numbers voting is a very big change in the operation of the GAC. So that's just a general remark. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And before giving to Bill to introduce the next agenda item, I would like just to mention that as we speak of GAC advice, the GAC definitely expects GAC advice to be taken as is, unedited, because one piece of GAC advice was really edited, and this was unaccepted by the whole GAC membership. And at least we expect that if some editing is necessary or needed, that at least this would be communicated first to the GAC and approved by the GAC. Because we really spent hours and hours picking the right words that really reflects all views around the table, and we do expect that this being taken as is. So we just felt that this is a right venue to flag this issue, which would also be raised with the board during our joint meeting with the board. So does anyone want to speak to this, or we can move forward to the... So, Bill, can you please introduce the next agenda item?
Thank you, Manel, and that's a very timely comment. I think it's we have not actually discussed this within the board, among the board members of this working group, but I expect that we would agree that GAC advice must not be edited without GAC approval. I think that's a very reasonable principle to adopt going forward. The next item on the agenda is recommendation 10, which you see before you. I will shorten that considerably by just identifying this as the register of GAC advice. ICANN staff, and particularly Jamie and his group, have done what I think is a very helpful job of producing a register that has been through several iterations within the working group as people commented and remarked on their expectations of the register, and I think we've come to a pretty satisfactory working model now. I would like to ask Jamie Hedlund to present that work on the screen and speak to it briefly, and then I think the next question is to clarify what is expected of the register and what we're going to do with it in terms of posting it and editing rights and so forth. So, Jamie, may I ask you to speak to this briefly?
Sure. Thank you, Bill, and thank you all who have provided very helpful input as we've iterated in developing this, and thank you, Jeannie, for all of your hard work in putting this into a format that hopefully makes sense and to as large a degree as possible is self-explanatory. There are three tabs on this spreadsheet, and I'll spend most of the time just on the first tab, which is, in fact, the register of GAC advice. If you look at the top, we try to divide it into the steps that go along with starting with the receipt of GAC advice all the way through acceptance by the board and the GAC that the GAC advice has been completely addressed. So if you go under in the first, in the blacked out row, the first column is a reference number that we staff came up with to track GAC advice. It's got the elements that are described there, sort of the general subject of the advice, the date the advice was conveyed, and if there on one particular matter there were multiple pieces of advice, then it has an additional number. It also has a hyperlink to the source of the advice. The next column is pretty important or significant one for the register, and it's the capturing of the advice that was provided. The next step is also critical, which is an acceptance or acknowledgement by both the board and the GAC that this advice is in fact captured accurately, it's acknowledgement by the GAC that it's captured adequately, and that begins the actual tracking of the in the implementation of the advice. The next step. And this is also what I'm going through is also laid out in a two-page process document that we sent out. We did not get any comments on it, but to the extent that there is lack of clarification or any other requests, please let us know, and we will incorporate that. So under the three columns, under the second step for assessing GAC advice, that really goes to for the board and staff to understand what next steps are required, who the relevant parties are that are important to both staff and external for considering the advice and taking steps to implement it, and what's the target completion date. The third step is the actual implementation. The first column is a place to track both communications between relevant parties on the implementation steps, as well as to update on where in the implementation process of a particular piece of advice is actually in place. And then finally, there's the opportunity for the board to indicate, once all those implementation steps have been taken or all the assessment is done, for the board to indicate whether or not it accepts the GAC advice or it disagrees with it, triggering, in the case of triggering the bylaw requirement to engage in good faith consultation with the GAC regarding that advice. Finally, in the fourth step in the completion, it's just acknowledgement and handshake by both parties that the GAC advice has been fully addressed and is a completed item. Any questions on that so far? Yes, please.
Thank you very much for that explanation, and also thanks for all the work on this. Again, this is another one I've been following silently. It's all seemed very sensible, and I've got nothing but praise for the endeavour. I think this will do a number of good things and clarify the handling of advice right through the spectrum. My question or comment really is on the communication column. Unfortunately, I've been unable to get online, so I can't check. But an earlier version of this, the text which is currently in there, they were summaries rather than the actual exact extracts from GAC communiques and letters and so on. I'm not sure if that's still the case. But my comment is I would be hesitant to use summaries. I'm sure they are very good summaries, but it will cause issues. If I understand that some of the GAC advice may be rather lengthy and it may be difficult to actually put into that column. So My suggestion would be, if these are summaries, that we then pick something which is like a topic heading, a more substantial, but it can't be confused for the actual advice. It obviously needs to be descriptive enough so we know what we're talking about, but avoid making it look like the actual text if it isn't. So
I'm clear. So we shouldn't edit the advice and make it. That was a bad joke. We will. I think the intention is to put the actual advice in, and as the process iterates, to the extent that that there's questions, then we'll. Or if there's a piece of advice that is as long as is extremely lengthy, we would obviously work with the GAC for an appropriate summary, and not just make one up. Staff would not make one up in any event.
So we have Bill, and then we have Norway and Germany and European Commission.
Thank you.
Thank you. Question I think really highlights the importance of the handshake phase, and one of the things that I would appreciate hearing thoughts on during this discussion is what will be the mechanism on the GAC side to arrange for an approval or a handshake. We'll have to do similar work on the board side. Thank you.
Okay, no, thank you. Just to echo my colleague from Australia, that we would be reluctant to kind of try and to interpret GAC advice, because we work so much on the text, because we also think that the next step required, and as I said, relevant parties and target completion will tell us whether or not you have kind of got our advice, the sense of our advice. Okay, thank you.
Germany.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I would like to thank the group for elaborating this process, which from my point of view is really valuable and is going into the right direction. Having said that, I would like to come back to an advice we gave in recent times, and this advice was amended by somebody, I don't know whom. Concretely, I'm talking about the advice we gave during the last meeting on new GTLDs. We were asked from ICANN board to give advice on a specific speech and language we wanted to use for, showing our objections to specific new GTLDs, and we were trying to come to some clear language and three categories. And this language was unfortunately amended by ICANN. And I think this is something we could monitor within such a process. And in this case, it would be very, very helpful to have such kind of monitoring, and we could, yes, iron out this problem. Thank you.
UK, please.
Yes, thank you. Madam Chair, and thanks very much for all the work of the team on this, and for the explanation of the register. It looks very good. I think it achieves goals of clarity and so on. My question is, and maybe it's already been considered, is that we introduce some commonly agreed marker of warning that something is approaching failure to complete on time, and then that the marker somehow indicates whose fault that is. Is it on the GAC side or is it on the board side? So that you can go to this list, which is, you know, could be quite extensive and detailed, and immediately see, somebody hasn't followed up on this yet, and where does the action lie? And as I say, some warning that we're approaching a critical deadline, so that things don't slip, and there's absolute clarity as to where who is responsible for accelerating something to in order to keep to the deadline. So that, as a suggestion, I don't know whether you've considered that and thought it might over-elaborate it, but I think for clarity and ease of reference and recognition, that might be a helpful enhancement of this very good template. Thanks.
Thank you, UK. I do apologize. I have overlooked a request from European Commission. European Commission, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No need to apologize at all. There is no problem. First of all, I would like to thank all the members of the working group. I have been participating in the working group, and not very silently, I'm afraid, for those other members. I've been asking all sorts of questions. I hope they were not entirely useless. I think what we have now is a very good, I'm a bit reluctant to say first step, because I know that a lot of work has been going into this, but I'm not sure this will be the final step. There might be the need for some modifications. First of all, and to support what other GAC colleagues have said, I doubt that any GAC colleague would say something else, but it's up to them. But definitely our position is that the text in the communication column should be the text of the advice. There should be no editing at all. This will create all sorts of problems, first of all, to the board, to be absolutely honest. It's let's stick. And then it's our responsibility as the GAC to make sure that the advice that we produce is readable and makes sense and is easily identifiable. This is something we have already identified in our discussion, that our communique should probably list more clearly than they do at the moment what is an advice and what is not. Again, this is internal GAC discussion. I'm sure we will work on that. Generally, I would expect, and I don't know if the expectation is correct, but I would expect that what is now a PDF or an Excel file will be turned into an online tool, into an online database that we can access, because I expect that once we start to have to fill in this table, it will be difficult to navigate it only as an Excel file, and even worse as a PDF file. So this is something to be considered, most probably. Another thing that I think will be useful is, again, this is something I guess we will need to discuss inside GAC. I offer it only as a reflection for further discussion. But in terms of the handshake steps, as I already said in the mailing list, not on behalf of the GAC, that was the Commission suggestion, is that once if the GAC needs to send an acknowledgement, the board should communicate to the chair or the vice chair, whomever else will be identified in the GAC, what an acknowledgement is expected. And then the GAC would have, I can imagine 15 working days would be enough, but this we will discuss in the GAC, to react and following a rule of silence assent. My worry here, and again, this is something we will need to discuss in the GAC, we wouldn't want to delay the process too much on our side, so there has to be some kind of incentive on our side as well to react and confirm. But again, this is something that I guess will be discussed by the GAC. And last but not least, as I think I also mentioned during the discussions in the working group, in step two, there is a column which is the column of responsible party. Now, there I am not entirely clear whether the responsible party means that it's either the board or the GAC, which of course would be silly, because if we give an advice, we usually don't give an advice to ourselves, not in a communique at least. So I would assume that that column could also include as responsible party other constituencies, which links to the discussion that we were just having at the beginning. If we are going to ever give some form of a message to other constituencies, would that qualify as an advice according to the bylaws, et cetera? This is a point which I think we have not yet discussed in depth. I'm not saying that we need to discuss it now, but it's something to keep in mind for the future. We are very fine for keeping for the moment the column, to assume that the column will be the board, because we give advice to the board and then we expect the board to react on that. But for the future, we would imagine that column could also contain other constituencies to which we would send messages. And I would appreciate any points of view, either of the other members of the working group of the board of GAC members. Thank you.
Okay, yes, please, I'm sorry. This is African Union. Yes, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Issam Abul Kherat from the African Union Commission. I would like to seek clarification about the column on strip three, the implementation of the second one, board action, accept and disagree. Usually, if there is an option of accept and disagree or rejection of that from the board action, it would make more sense if it's moved to the final column under assessment. But if the implementation says accept or disagree, it's not an implementation phase that can decide if it's accepted or rejected.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the last part of it. Was it a question to Jemmy or directed to?
Yes, it's a direct question.
Yeah. Yes, please. Jemmy, can you please respond?
So thank you for the question. I think what was contemplated was that that at some point the board, after an assessment is made, the board will make the, you know, after having gone through the analysis and consulted with the community or do whatever has to be done with respect to any particular advice, would at that point say that we accept it or that the board accepts it or the board disagrees with it and therefore triggers consultation. It's important that I think it's important that it be on the spreadsheet, and whether it needs to be moved into the assessment column or at the very end, there's a with any particular piece of advice it might be different, right? I mean, there may be instances where it's clear from very early on that the board says it disagrees. There may be other instances where the board goes through an extended analysis, and there's a lot of work that's done before the board reaches a decision. And I probably shouldn't be talking about what the board should or shouldn't do, but I'm just imagining the different scenarios.
Okay, thank you, Jemmy. Bill, would you like to?
Yes, thank you all for those comments and suggestions. I think those all are very well thought through, and we'll have to take them back to our work online to settle. But I don't think they will be significant problems to deal with. On this page that you see on the screen, Manal and I and staff had a teleconference last week, and we identified these as being a series of questions that we will need to deal with fairly rapidly. I think they can all be dealt with through an exchange of emails, and in fact, many of them have been raised during the oral comments here, so I thank you for those. In the interest of time, I think we need now to move to talking about our work plan and setting some deadlines, if we may. European Commission, please.
Thank you, Chair. I will be extremely brief. Just to, as we have said repeatedly during the working group, our recommendation is to start with this register as soon as possible. We are very confident that any problem, we do recognize the problem that has been raised by the colleague of the African Union Commission. There may be misunderstandings of what goes where. My experience, and I believe Garth's colleague's experience, is until we try to do it, we will never understand. And we can spend months literally here trying to devise the perfect system and then discover that it's not what it works. So let's try to use it and in an atmosphere of mutual trust, which on this I'm sure, on everything, but on this in particular I'm sure exists, we can quickly identify problems and fix them.
So having said that, we would be happy to seek approval from the working group members that we announce progress on recommendation 9 and 10, adopting the current GAC definition on what constitutes a GAC advice, and announcing the first iteration of the online register subject to any modifications that come out of practical practical experience. So if we hear no objections, then this would be the next step. UK, please.
Thanks very much. It's not an objection, I hasten to explain, but could you remind me who will have operational oversight from the board and the GAC side of the register? So if there are problems, how do we sort that out? Is that already agreed? Again, apologies if I've missed a well-established path in deciding that. Thanks.
Thank you, UK. That's an excellent question. That is one of the outstanding items as to who precisely is going to put their hands forward to shake. At this point, I think the next working step is for the GAC to identify a party or parties to go through and verify the accuracy of the information that's contained in the registry now. And then perhaps within this working group, we can accept that responsibility for the time being, moving to a more formal stage once the text is finalized, if that's acceptable.
European Commission.
Well, simply to say that obviously I support the proposal to accept the state of play, subject to the next step, subject to further work. One thing, however, that I believe the working group should report is that the GAC has expressly requested the text of the advice not to be edited, because this is something we agreed here now, so that should be explicitly mentioned in the communication to the board.
Again, we can now move to the work plan, and as Bill mentioned, a few things that are pending that could be done online. Where the physical system would reside, would it be on the ICANN server or a GAC server? The access levels, who should have access rights to the system, and the oversight, as Mark already mentioned. So those are things that we hope we're going to discuss online. And now the work plan, Bill.
Yes. As this work all originates from the ATRT recommendations, there is quite a strong push from the ICANN chair to establish clear deadlines and work to those deadlines, because that is one of the requirements of the affirmation of commitments that we actually put these recommendations into effect. So you see before you on screen and distributed earlier a draft work plan for this joint working group. I'm not quite sure how we're going to deal with that in the room. I think the level of detail is too fine, but I think we need to, perhaps as a first item of the work plan, set ourselves a deadline for accomplishing the work that's that needs to be done. Again, we've got a quite a good start on identifying what the issues are, and we have a set of deadlines that have been suggested to us by the ATRT implementation team. I think that's going to have to also be a discussion that we have online to agree those deadlines. This is all a question of what's in the realm of the possible, but I think building on the success we've had with the advice question and with the register format, we need to work fairly quickly on deadlines for the remainder of the recommendations. Manal?
Yes, and there is also a spreadsheet that was also distributed online with some milestones for each of thank you, Jenny, for each of the recommendations, so that it can first of all, help us have concrete milestones for each recommendation, and second, would guide us in putting appropriate deadlines. This is has been proposed by the staff, and I encourage that we have a thorough look through this and maybe try to agree on the exact milestones online. European Commission.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For clarity, are we expected to agree on those milestones and deadlines now, or because I don't think that is feasible, honestly?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have the time. We would have loved to progress this here in a face-to-face meeting, but again, we don't have the time, and we and frankly, it was communicated a bit late for everyone to read thoroughly and give concrete feedback. So I appreciate if you can do this hopefully immediately after Costa Rica so that we can take this a step forward.
I was just suggesting to Manal, maybe we, if I'd like to get a sense of timeline here. Do you think if we said that we could have a first round of comments through via email by the end of March, and then, of course, there it will be several iterations, I think, to arrive at a final result. But I think you'll find the spreadsheet is, I certainly found the spreadsheet extremely useful as an aid to help me conceptualize what work needs to be done. So if that's agreeable, I'd like to encourage us all on both sides of this joint working group to consider this as a starting point and try to provide comments by the end of March. Thank you.
Just before we close, first of all, we're having a session on Wednesday regarding recommendation 14 on the high-level meeting, and it's a GAC discussion so that we can come back to the joint working group with a concrete feedback on this topic. So this is on recommendation 14. Since we still have like 5 minutes, so maybe we could quickly try to order the recommendations in term of discussion. I mean, we have the timeliness of GAC advice and early engagement in PDP, and we have the board and GAC mutual information exchange. So, European Commission, yes, please.
Thank you, Chair. Just to be absolutely clear on what we would expect to do, and I do apologize that we did not come ready for this, but as Manales said, we received this a little bit later together with understanding that everybody's under pressure together with a bunch of other documents. But we do our best to provide our comments by the end of March. But what is exactly expected from us? General comments on the timelines, on the milestones, on this document that has been provided by the board, which, of course, would not at this stage commit us to any particular direction, simply initial ideas on whether these milestones make sense, this timeline makes sense. Okay. In that case, I confirm I expect we will be able to provide our comments by the end of March.
Yes.
Sorry, the we here is the European Commission. It's used pluralis majestatis, it's not the GAC.
No, thank you for that question. I think what we should try for by the end of March is essentially a reality check. Do we have the milestones correctly, and are the timeframes suggested workable, or what would be a more achievable kind of milestone? Thanks.
So, if UK, yes, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, yes, I think we can work to that timeline of comments. There's a little bit of pressure. There's, I'll go back and back to the office next week. There's other stuff coming up. We'll do our best, but if, as I understand it, all this work is going to continue in parallel. Is that right? So I was just thinking, you know, if there's some scope for prioritizing, that's a point that I think we ought to consider. What is more urgent? And, for example, GAC liaison to the board is, I think, something that strikes me ought to be sorted out pretty quickly. But anyway, that's just off the top of my head, really. But I think we can work to that deadline. Thanks.
So I think we would then, Jemmy, should we expect some text to be circulated regarding the announcement on progress on recommendation 1 and 9 and 10?
Sorry. Yes, we can draft a communication. Staff can draft a communication for board and GAC consideration on 9 and 10. I'd be happy to turn that around quickly.
Okay, so we'll be expecting a draft to announce progress on those two recommendations. We'll work on recommendation 14 through our upcoming session on Wednesday. We'll try to accomplish the work plan over email and trigger discussion on the rest of the pending recommendations. And with this, I thank you all for your participation and hope that we would have an interactive participation after the meeting online. Bill?
Yes, thank you. I'd just like to add my thanks to all the members of the joint working group, both GAC and board, for the efforts you've put in so far. I think it's been very helpful. I feel very positive about our ability to achieve progress on all these recommendations before the next meeting, and look forward to collaborating with you.
And of course, we thank ICANN staff for the enormous efforts that have been put into the online system and the spreadsheets and everything. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure working on these issues with all of you.
For the GAC, please be back in the room at 2 o'clock this afternoon.